I mentioned about the fruit of the Spirit, and I wanted to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and just the first one today being love. The fruit of the Spirit is love in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and I'll just read those two verses about what the fruits of the Spirit are. In verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. So, when you think of the fruit of the Spirit, it's different. Like, there's gifts of the Spirit and there's fruit of the Spirit. And gifts of the Spirit is different than fruit of the Spirit. When you think of gifts in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says that, you know, God gave some to be apostles and some to be pastors and teachers and prophets. And there's many gifts, you know, gifts of healing and of faith, even there's a gift and of service and helps. But those gifts are for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So those gifts are for ministry and for others. When we think of the fruit of the Spirit, those are fruits, I'm going to say for us, but it's, of course, others are witnessing these things and it's a testimony to others. But those fruits, when you think of love and joy, that's joy we experience in our hearts. Patience, that's patience that we are going to grow in. It's for us. So these fruits are fruits that we are bearing. And these fruits aren't going to be hidden in and so on. People are going to witness these fruits in our lives. We can see that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20. Where it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." And so, fruit is public. Right? People are gonna see it, whether it's good or bad. And so, the fruits of the Spirit are going to be shown. It's like, it's going to be kind of like a light, right? They're going to see the love. They're going to see the joy. And the first fruit of love is greater than all the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explains that. Right in verse 8, I'll read that. 1 Corinthians 13. It says, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there is no, there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." And then verse 13, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." All the gifts are going to cease, but it says love will never cease. Right? Love will never, it'll last forever. And so, and he's saying that about, when he talks about all the gifts in chapter 12, and then he says, "But I'm going to show you a more excellent way." And then he talks about love. When we think about love, the world has perverted the word love in so many ways. But when we look at like a definition of love from Scripture, just look at the most common verse that many know, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." Love is about giving of yourself. And you look at John 15, it says in verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." So that's really what love is laying down your life for Christ first and foremost, so that we can lay it down for one another. So it's interesting when it says these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. So there's an order, like faith is number three, hope is number two, love is number one. I'll just read later that you can't get to love without faith and without hope. It leads to love, but the greatest is love. So we know that love is laying down our life for others. It's, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 explains love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it is not proud, it doesn't boast, it's not easily irritated, it keeps no record of wrong. It doesn't make a checklist, you did that to me, you did that to me, and now I'm agitated and bitter. It doesn't keep those records. It says love covers sin, right? Love covers. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. So when we think of the fruit of the Spirit is love, this is the characteristics of love that we need as Christians. And this, it says a good tree is known by its good fruit. It's going to bear good fruit. So the fruit that's coming out of our life is going to show what kind of tree we are. And so when we are a good tree, we're going to have the fruit of love. And of course, we're going to be growing. As we mature, the fruit is going to be increasing. We're going to be, you know, a small ones, but as the plant matures, as the tree matures, it bears more fruit and greater fruit, bigger fruit. And so as we mature in Christ, that's going to increase. So don't get discouraged if you look at your life and say, well, I don't have a lot of it. We have hope that through the Holy Spirit, we will, as we seek Him first, grow in love. So Galatians 5 verse 14, I may be crossing into Joel's study. I'm sure he'll do a better job in depth there. But Galatians 5:14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the law. When you look at the law, man, there's so many commands and things. But it says it's all fulfilled in one word, even in this. So when you think of one word, it's all fulfilled in love. The whole law is fulfilled in love. So that's how important love is. And when the Pharisee came to Jesus and wanted to know what was the greatest commandment, in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the greatest. So Jesus testified, and that's where the apostles and Paul understood that Jesus reinforced the greatest. It's the fulfillment of the law is love. In Romans chapter 13, 8 to 10, I'll read that. This is really encouraging. Romans 13. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another. I wrote a little children's song a long time ago. I don't know if anyone's heard it. Some of you have. So children, listen up, because this will help you remember what the most important commandment is. Oh, nothing but to love one another. Oh, nothing but to love. One word and there is not another. Love fulfills the law. See? A little children's song can help us remember scripture. Songs are good for that, right? Oh, nothing but to love one another. For he who loves has fulfilled the law. Can you imagine? We can actually fulfill the law. It was impossible to fulfill the law in the Old Testament. You couldn't do it. You'd always falter. But now, and this is so encouraging in Romans 8. You can flip back before I read the rest of that. Romans 8 in verse 3 and 4. So, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law, the righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled in us. Is it going to be fulfilled in everyone? No, it's not going to be fulfilled in those who walk according to the flesh. It says it right there. It's only fulfilled in those who walk according to the Spirit. And if we walk according to the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, as it says in Galatians 5. And so, that righteous requirement of the law, of love, can be fulfilled as we love and grow in love for one another. That righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us. And why is that? It explains it right where I was reading in Romans 13. Now we'll go to verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That's why it's the fulfillment of the law. Because when you love somebody, you don't harm them. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to want to hurt them. That's why it's the fulfillment of the law. It does no harm. That's why it says Jesus was innocent and harmless, separate from sinners. He was harmless. He didn't want to harm anybody. He fulfilled the law. And because he fulfilled the law and he gave us of his Holy Spirit, now we can fulfill the law if we walk according to the Spirit. So all those commandments, I heard someone share once, and it was a really... open up my eyes to this, that you think of the law in the Old Covenant, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. It become pretty burdensome if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't have love. As soon as we have love, the thou shalt nots become promises to us. We will not harm our neighbor. We will not commit adultery. We will not steal and lie because we have the Holy Spirit and that love is growing in us. We won't want to do that. And if we stumble, we have an advocate and Jesus will pick us up and then we'll apologize. We all have to apologize often. You know, I had to this morning for a word that I spoke not in love. And so that's how he changes us. And we're going to be growing in love. So thou shalt not. The 10 commandments become 10 promises. I love that truth. In James chapter 2, verse 8, it says, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. There it is. Again, the royal law, James 2, verse 8. Loving your neighbor as yourself is the royal law. Loving God. And we can't love our neighbor unless we love God. It's impossible. So those scriptures, Galatians 5:14, the law is fulfilled in one word, love your neighbor, the royal law. James 2:8 is love your neighbor, and Romans 3:13-10, love is the fulfillment of the law. Those three passages all show us how important the fruit of love is. God wants us to have his fruit. He wants us to grow in his fruit. So how do we grow in love? I'm going to finish with these five simple points. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. How do we grow in love? Number one, first of all, how do we get Christ's love? We need to be born again. It's not going to happen unless we're born again, born of the Spirit. And we need his Holy Spirit. We have to have his Holy Spirit because it's a fruit of the Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to have the fruit of love. So we need his Holy Spirit. And like we reinforce many times, we need it daily. We need it to more of his Spirit every day. We need to keep asking, seeking, knocking for his Holy Spirit. Number two, Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. The rest of them are coming from Colossians except for the last. So Colossians chapter 1. I'm fighting the winds here. Okay. Okay, verse 3. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. So here they heard of faith and their love. So it's the public. The love is public. People are going to know it. People are going to see it. They will know, it says, people will know that we're his disciples because the love we have for one another. So it's public. It says, okay, we've heard of your faith and love for all the saints. In verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We need hope. Love is a fruit of hope. So we need the Holy Spirit and we need hope. We don't want to lose hope. And what is it hoping in? Hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Hope of salvation. Hope that we're going to be changed. Hope of the eternity that we're going to see him face to face. Hope that we know that our sins are forgiven. That we've been justified. So we have that hope. Not despair. So a hope is a fruit. Love is a fruit of hope. And then number 3, we need faith in Jesus and in the gospel, as we'll see in verse 6. Okay, so this, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth. So, faith in the gospel. The gospel brings forth fruit. The day we hear the gospel, which is the good news, the day we hear it and mix it with faith is the day we bear fruit. That same day, the day they heard the gospel and mixed it with faith, that was like the seed was planted and it started bearing fruit that day. It's not, of course, it's going to, as I mentioned, it's going to grow and we're not going to be bearing crazy amounts of fruit that first day, but it's going to bring forth some fruit. There's going to be peace. The day we hear the gospel and we know our sins are forgiven, there's going to be peace. The day that we hear the gospel and we know the love that God has for us, we're going to start to love. And that's my last point. But so we need faith. Okay, so we need the Holy Spirit. We need hope. We need faith. And we need to obey. We need obedience. That's how we're going to grow in love. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says, since you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. It starts with obedience to the truth. Then love one another. Okay, we won't be able to love if we're disobedient to the truth. It's impossible. So we need to obey. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 also says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Well, as we keep his commandments, that shows our love for the Lord, and our love is going to increase for others. Okay, the last point here is, how do we grow in love for others? Know the love that God has for us. We're right there already. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Now, in my Bible, I've always missed this because in my Bible it says, we love him because he first loved us. And that's true. But that word him is omitted in some versions. And so you could say, we love because he first loved us. So an exact truth to that is we love others because he first loved us. So when we know the love God has for us and that we've been forgiven much, then we're going to love much. We're going to love him, but we're also going to love others. So when others do something hurtful against us, we're going to be able to love them because we know how much God has forgiven us. And so that's the last thing I want to share about how we can grow in love. I've repeated this a few times, but I'll just repeat it again. We need to be born again. We need His Holy Spirit. We need to have hope of the salvation of God and of eternal life. We need faith in Jesus and faith in the gospel because the gospel brings forth fruit. And the first fruit is love. It's the greatest command. It's the greatest, it fulfills the law. And the law can be fulfilled in us, as it talks about in Romans 8. We need to obey. There's a purify your souls by in obedience to the truth. There's obedience that purifies. And it leads to then a command to love our brethren. And I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1. It could be 1 Peter. But it says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, and the next one. And it ends in brotherly kindness. So you see how you need faith? Starts in faith, and then add it, add, and it ends in love. And then lastly, we need to know the love of God. And that's how we're going to grow in love.